This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Campfire Cafe, and I'm your host, Gary Holt. Joining me today will be my co-host, Bobby Jean Bell from Santa Clarita, California, and we have a great show lined up with some terrific guests for you. Gary Allegretto will be joining us, a tremendous singer and songwriter, and I think, as people call Billy Joel the piano man, they'd have to call Gary the harp man. So he's a terrific musician. We're going to be talking with him and listening to his music. And then we'll be joined in the second half of the show by Suzanne De Laurentiis of Imagine a Horse. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. When we come back, we'll be talking with Gary Allegretto.
Well, I got a gal at the head of a creek, going up to see her about 2 times a week. Kiss her on the mouth as sweet as any wine, wrap herself around me like a sweet potato vine. Going up Cripple Creek, going on a run, going up Cripple Creek, have a little fun. Going up Cripple Creek, going in a whirl, going up Cripple Creek, see my little girl. On a boy like a dog on a bone. Hold my princess up to my knees, waiting old Cripple Creek whenever I plead. Going up Cripple Creek, going on a run. Going up Cripple Creek, have a little fun. Going up Cripple Creek, going in a whirl. Going up Cripple Creek, see my little girl.
By Gary Allegretto, and that's a great song. That's a great way to start the show. And Gary, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me, Gary.
And we've got Bobby Jean that had a little technical problem, and so she's on now. Bobby Jean, good morning.
Good morning to two Garys, Gary Holt and Gary Allegretto, and I'm calling on my phone. I seem to be having internet connection problems this morning, so I'm so happy to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you and Gary, and I know that Gary has performed with your Out West concert series, so why don't you introduce Gary and tell us a little bit about him, and we'll get this show on the road.
Well, I am just thrilled to have Gary with us today. Gary is a phenomenal singer-songwriter and often performs alone, although recently he has joined up with a great friend and musical talent, also based here in Los Angeles, Ian Espinoza. And together they were the Academy of Western Artists Award winners for Western Duo Group of the Year. And their debut album, which we'll be talking about a bit today, Allegretto and Ian Espinoza, held the number one spot on Western radio charts for several months. And if you like a fresh and unique approach to cowboy music with exceptional harmonica and guitar playing, also humorous and catchy as well as thought-provoking songs, these two gentlemen do it all, and with grace and style, and we had the best time when they were with us last October. So welcome to the show, Gary.
Oh, well, thank you, and thank you for that nice introduction.
Well, my first question for you always is, how did you and the harmonica meet?
Oh, well, when I was a kid, my grandpa gave me my first harmonica. Yeah, and I'm guessing around 7 years old.
And had you tried other instruments up to that point, or did you? Was it just, you know, love it for sound? You just, that was it. You were tied forever.
It sure was. It was love at first sound. My folks had been interested in getting me playing musical instruments, and they had set me up with saxophone lessons as a kid. And I didn't really take to that. And when my grandpa gave me the harmonica, I knew what I was supposed to be doing. In fact, you might say I found my purpose for being here right underneath my nose that day, literally.
And there is something so wonderful about just having that instrument in your pocket, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, honestly, it's an old friend, and if I hold it in my hand, I feel like power from that. Just having a harmonica around, I actually wear one around my neck, a tiny one around my neck, and that actually plays songs. So, yeah, just having a harmonica somewhere within reach to me is power.
I know when you and Ian performed, there was a really fun moment when you talked about, well, let's do a little of our own heavy metal, you know, because we had that other concert going on the street. And Ian picked up his wonderful National guitar, right? Is that right?
National guitar? Yes, it's a National steel guitar, right?
And you picked up a harmonica. I had never seen a harmonica that. Tell us about that harmonica.
That's called a double bass harmonica. It's a double decker bass harmonica. All the notes on it are blow notes because they're so low. And you can hear it on the new album. I actually, first time I ever pulled it out for recording, and there's two songs on the album that have that bass harmonica on it.
And it was really fun, again, watching you and Ian do that number together. That playing that harmonica is very physical, it appeared.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a test of my a wind, for sure. It's fun to play. It's very different from what everybody knows as a common diatonic harmonica. It's its own animal, and costs more than my pickup truck, as I say.
Gary, Gary Holt, do you have some questions for Gary Allegretto?
Well, I'm just kind of enjoying listening to you guys catch up a little bit, but yeah, it was pretty cool. I watched a little of the SCTV Out West series last night, from several months ago, I guess. And yeah, that was that a bass harmonica? Is that what that's called?
Yeah, it's called a bass harmonica. Mm-hmm.
That was a monster. That was something that you wouldn't start with at 5 years old, would you?
No, it'd be hard to get your hands on one of those. They're not very common, and like I say, quite expensive. I actually was given that as a gift, as a donation, from someone whose father had passed and had a big harmonica collection, and he donated his harmonicas to me and my organization.
Well, you're a talented guy, and there are a lot of your music that we want to get in today. One of the songs, and you called this to my attention just before the show started, is one that's called The First Rodeo. And tell us a little bit about that song and how you wrote that one.
First Rodeo, well, you know, I like to tell people that came out of my imagination, as far as you know. So I don't always give up my secrets on my songs. I like to keep, because I like to listen to songs and wonder. I wonder, did that guy really do that, or is that really true? Some of them I make up, and some of them are based loosely on fact. And,
all right.
That might have a little of both.
All right, a little combination in there, so that's always fun. But let's listen to this, and then people can try to draw their own conclusions. So this is The First Rodeo, And this is from the self-titled CD, Allegretto and Espinosa. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Well, I woke up in a jail cell this morning. I was feeling mighty fuzzy from last night. I got no recollection of how I got here, but I'm pretty sure that there was whiskey and a fight. And the warden says I sure tore up that bar. I guess that explains the shiner in this cast. But one thing you know, this ain't my first rodeo, and it dang sure ain't gonna be my last. Well, the law says I'm entitled to a phone call, so I'm pondering on who that ought to be. My woman up and left me a few days ago, said she was cleaning up her act, starting with me. And that lawyer ain't a-coming to my rescue, 'cause I saw her in his truck when they went past. But one thing you know, this ain't my first rodeo, and it dang sure ain't gonna be my last. You know, drunk and disorderly were my charges, and 6 months hard labor was my time. And when the judge demanded my repentance for that reckless, drunken nature of my crime, I said, Your Honor, I'll be sober in the morning. Yeah, but you'll still be a stubborn old jackass. And one thing you know, justice ain't my first rodeo, and it dang sure ain't gonna be my last. Like a bronco, it'll stomp down on your head just like a bull. They say what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Guess that makes me the world's most powerful fool, 'cause I've gone that full 8 seconds, and I'm gonna face down in the mud just as fast. But one thing you know, this ain't my first rodeo, and it dang sure ain't gonna be my last. Yeah, one thing you know, this ain't my first rodeo, and it dang sure ain't gonna be my last. Yes, sir, now one thing you know, this ain't my first rodeo, and it dang sure ain't gonna be my last.
That's the first rodeo, and that's from the CD Allegretto and Espinosa. And I guess I'd have to say that there's a little bit of life's experience in that song for all of us, Gary.
Well, I hope not. Not some of the worst details in there.
Yeah.
Let's see, not for me.
Yeah, I don't see Bobby Jean having to go through any of that.
Oh, God, she's such a sweet lady. Yeah.
Well, that's partly why I really do love music, though, and also, of course, the written word, because it does allow me to experience things that I have not experienced firsthand.
Well, I have to say, you know, it also allows us songwriters to experience stuff that we haven't experienced except for in our imagination. So that's why I like to say if there's a fine line between experience and imagination. Sometimes if you can imagine stuff, you experience it. So
Absolutely. Now, Gary, your background, just a little bit, you shared some in concert the other night. At one time, you worked with forestry. You were a hotshot. Can you tell us just a little bit about that experience?
Yeah, I've had a very colorful life as far as my work experience, and being a forest fire U.S. Forest Service hotshot is among that. When I was I went to college in Flagstaff, Arizona, at Northern Arizona University. In fact, spent most of my adolescence in Flagstaff, and hired on to be a forest ranger, and then became a firefighter and a hotshot. And some of the best experiences of my life were fighting fires on a crew with those guys. It was truly an amazing experience. And I had to pinch myself and had to, in just an amazement of I was actually getting paid to do that.
Such an important role that those firefighters play. I know when Belinda was in concert with us in December, she talked about the hot shots that had spared their home from a fire in Granite Mountain area, I guess about a year ago, and then unfortunately did not survive another fire attack. And she tells a really quite moving story about the impact that hotshot team had on their lives.
Yeah, that was tragic, a heartbreaker, and those fellows would be the crew that I was on. We would have been working together on that fire had I been on that fire. I'm sure Mormon Lake Hotshots, the crew I worked on out of Flagstaff, was on that fire as well.
Wow. And, us here in the West, we totally understand the power of fire, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And you just never know. It's, when you put your life out there on the line, you just never know what might happen. And I salute those fellas that gave it all. And it's tragic that they lost their lives doing what they loved. But I understand that commitment, having been there myself. It's something you wouldn't think twice about if you're out there on the fire line.
Absolutely. And speaking, though, again, a little bit more about experiences, if we turn now a little bit to your musical history, are there some folks that you would consider your musical heroes or inspirations to what you do, that you look to for what you do?
I listen to a lot of different kinds of music, and a lot of the masters that I listen to came from the blues, as most American music does. In fact, I'm going to change that and say all American music really does come from the blues as its roots. And so the masters of the blues are the guys that are probably the guys I admired the most and still do, and who inspired me the most. It starts there. It doesn't end there, but it does start there. Yeah, and in some ways it does end there. But having studied those fellows, particularly as a harmonica player, studying the early blues harmonica players, I didn't just copy them. I actually developed my own thing, but being influenced like any artist, you learn from the best there is, the masters, and then you develop your own style.
And you definitely do have a very recognizable and wonderful style. And I know I have to just say this by a comment of Rick Huff, and we know him as a wonderful reviewer of CDs for the Western Music Association's Western Way magazine. And Rick Huff, I think, describes you and Gary so wonderfully as a powerhouse duo, and that you bring an incorporation of different blues and honky-tonk elements into a mix of traditional and original Western songs. And I say bring it on, and let's have more of that in Western music. I'll just put it out right out there that Bobby Jean Bell says we need more of this in Western music.
Well, you know, there'd be no point in shying away from it. You know, as I mentioned, you know, all American music came from mixing European music with the blues. When the blues was introduced to our culture after, you know, emancipation of slaves in the 1850s, 1860s rather, that's when you had this rich musical culture blending together and creating everything that came after that, which is called American music, and cowboy music being one of those, Western music being one of those. So I think it's overlooked, quite frankly, too much, the influence of the blues on Western music. And certainly something that should, you know, not be shied away from, but embraced in the music.
Well, I
would absolutely agree.
And you guys are just leading us right into the next song. And I've heard the Sons of the Pioneers do this. I've heard Belinda Gale and several other people do this. But this is, I've never heard the song done this way. And it's a great version called Along the Navajo Trail. So let's listen to that and come back and talk more with Gary and with Bobby. And we'll be right back.
Every day, along about evening, when the sunlight's beginning to fail, I ride through the slumbering shadows along the Navajo Trail. When it's nighttime and the crickets are calling and the coyotes are making their wail, I dream by a smoldering fire along the Navajo Trail. While over yonder the moon is climbing, and it always finds me wishing on a star. Well, what do you know?
Well, what do you know?
It's morning already.
Morning already.
And there's a dawn shining so silver and pale. It's time to climb on back of my saddle and ride that old Navajo Trail.
I need my applause meter. Bobby, I don't have one. Can you just kind of...
I think that the way that they perform Navajo Trail is really so refreshing, and it gives us new ears. I just feel like I'm loping along, and I'm seeing and hearing that song like I have never heard it before. And I think that's a testimony to this amazing collaboration between these two singer-songwriter performers, and it's what makes them really, really special.
Well, thank you very much, Bobby Jean. I appreciate that.
Well, it's a cool song, and you know, one of the neat things about what I do is I get to listen to a lot of music, and I think I told you, Gary, I listened to about 20 some odd songs yesterday from your two CDs, and trying to decide what to put on the air is a challenge. I mean, it's all terrific, and it's like we could do an hour or so of just listening to some of this music and sharing it with folks. But
I always say that your albums are only as good as your weakest song, so I don't like to put anything weak on my albums. It's all killer, no filler, as they say.
Well, it's all great. It's all great. So we're loving the music on there. We want to talk just a few minutes about your Harmonic Kids. And, you know, not only are you an extremely talented musician and singer and songwriter, but you're also a guy that gives back a lot. And talk to us a little bit about Harmonic Kids.
Sure. I'm a music educator as well as a musician. I'll start out by telling folks that I teach kids in schools. As an educator, I give kids harmonicas and teach them to play. I travel around the country doing that. That isn't my Harmonic Kids program. That's not a nonprofit. That's part of what I do when I'm touring around playing, performing, is I'll go get hired by schools to go out and teach their kids, and the kids get a harmonica and learn to play songs within an hour. I have them giggling and having fun and laughing by entertaining them, and then I sneak some education in there by giving them harmonicas and they learn to play four songs. And a lot of these kids, especially today in today's schools, there's not too much music programs, so a lot of these kids will never get to play another musical instrument. It may be their only experience at it. So I think music's is as important as math and science and English in schools, and I'm doing my part to keep it in the schools. Now, having said that, I'll talk about Harmonic Kids. In 1985, I started a nonprofit organization that gave music therapy to children through the harmonica, and much the same way I teach kids in schools, I go to facilities with kids with special challenges. That can be anything from hospitals, Ronald McDonald Houses, detention centers, at-risk centers like Boys and Girls Clubs and Big Brothers, Big Sisters. I do a lot of work with kids with learning disabilities, Down syndrome, et cetera, psychiatric issues, all kinds of stuff. You name it, I've taught a kid with it. And it's called Harmonic Kids. The kids get harmonicas, and I entertain them and then give them harmonicas and teach them how to play. And to give you an idea of the power that a harmonic can have, and this even surprised me after I've taught probably 100,000 kids around the world, including kids after the Haitian earthquake in Haiti and kids after the tsunami in Indonesia. So I've seen miracles happen with harmonica, but one of the most amazing ones I saw just last year was a little boy who couldn't hear or see actually learned to play a song on a harmonica by vibration.
Oh, wow.
I didn't even know that was possible. I was in a room full of kids with severe handicap. And I don't like to use the word handicap because, like I say, I've seen kids get around any obstacle. And this being the most amazing one, I've never seen anything like that. He actually picked up on the vibrations and was repeating the vibrations in order to create a song.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness, Gary.
That is pretty cool. Well, it's great that you give back the way that you do, and I know that you have. I think you told me that you had reached over 100,000 kids since you started this program.
Yeah, that's true, all over the world. And if folks would like to learn more about it and see video of it, et cetera, Harmonic Kids is at harmonickids.org, and that's HARMONIKIDS, one word, Harmonic Kids, sort of just how it sounds, .org.
Okay. All right.
It is a 501c3, in other words, a tax-deductible nonprofit, so all donations are tax-deductible.
All right, that's great. Well, you not only are a talented musician, you got a great way of putting a message together in a song. Some of the songs that you've done, I mean, Copenhagen is one I'd love to have played. I didn't get that on there.
We have to have Gary back.
I'll come back anytime. Yeah, there's another one that I wanted to do, and that's Ugly Woman Blues, but I was afraid some of my exes might take offense to that one, so I didn't do it.
I think we'll skip that one. I might get in trouble with that one myself. And in fact,
I heard Gary do that one, I know we kind of, I think here in the audience, if you're not familiar with that song, you sort of look at each other a little dumbfounded, and then you just have to laugh, and you find yourself tapping your foot and wanting to hear the end. And, you know, he's just very smart humor, very, it's again, a surprise. His music is surprising.
Oh, gosh. Well, it's a lot of fun, and such a broad range of music in the two CDs that I got to listen to. The first one was the self-titled Allegretto and Espinosa, and the other is the Harmonic Cowboy, and we're going to play some more of your music during the second half of the show when we have our next guest on. But tell us where people can find you and where they can find their music. What is your website?
You bet. Right now, the easiest website to find music is Allegretto Espinosa. And that's a mouthful, I know. But Allegretto is Allegretto. Two L's, two T's in that, and Espinosa is with a Z. So that's probably the easiest way to tell you that. AllegrettoEspinosa.com. You can find I have four CDs out, and two of them Grammy nomination consideration. The Harmonic Cowboy actually was nominated right alongside Don Edwards for Best Folk Album of the Year, since there's no cowboy category for the Grammys. And it was also a WMA Album of the Year nominee as well. All of my albums are available on CD Baby. If you just look up my name on CD Baby, they'll all come up. CDBaby.com, and it's just like it sounds, CDBaby.com.
All right.
And all of my albums are available there.
All right, well, check that out and pick up some of this music. It's absolutely great. And again, it's hard to try to decide what to put on the air today. And where can people see you next? Where will you be performing?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that. I'm going to be performing next week in Golden, Colorado, at the Colorado Cowboy Gathering.
All right.
And Ian's going to be joining me there. Don't always have the privilege of having Ian on board. A lot of times people just hire me solo. But it's nice to have Ian on board. We'll be doing stuff off of the new album. And we are actually slated to do a Even Cowboys Get the Blues segment. That's the theme of one of our segments. So we'll be mixing it all up there. And then I'll be in Alpine, Texas at the Alpine, Texas Gathering next month at the end of the month. I'll be at the Folk Alliance in Kansas City in the middle of next month. I'm sure I'm missing something here. I always have to look at my calendar to rattle off where I'll be.
He'll be at the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival with Ian, although that's not till April, but he'll be back out here again.
Yeah, and I'll be in Kamloops, British Columbia, mid-March. I'll be up at their Cowboy Gathering in Kamloops, British Columbia. And I'm going to be at the Arizona Folklore Preserve the third week of February down there in Sierra Vista.
All right. Well, all I can say is people need to schedule in their calendar visiting one of your events and check you out live, because I know it's going to be a great, great time. And appreciate so much you being on the show with us today. We're going to close this segment out with one from the Harmonic Cowboy CD, and that's called Saddle My Pony. And Gary, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate you, my friend.
It's my pleasure, Gary and Bobby Jean. It's been a pleasure chatting with you, and thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about my music.
Well, thanks for sharing your music and your time with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Gary.
All right, you take care. Thank you very much. See you guys.
All right. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Suzanne DeLaurentis. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I was born to roam. I never had a place to call my own. Saddle up and go. Yeah, go. Well, saddle my pony. Believe I'm gonna hit the road. But this big city been closing in. Baby, just look at the shape I'm in. Saddle up and go. Yeah, go. Saddle my pony. Believe I'm gonna hit the road. Pack my duffel in the middle of the night. When things get heavy, I'm traveling light. Saddle up and go. Yeah, go. Well, saddle my pony. Believe I'm gonna hit the road. Go ahead, John. Drink from your loving cup. You tell me settle down, make me wanna saddle up and go. Yeah, go. Here we go. Saddle my pony, believe I'm gonna hit the road. Out with a woman, having some fun, and in walked a man with a great big gun. Saddle up and go. Yeah, go. Well, saddle my pony, believe I'm gonna hit the road. Coming, baby, better run and hide. If I get you in my saddle, we're going for a ride. Saddle up and go. Yeah, go. Well, saddle my pony. I'm even gonna hit the road. Got a gal in Memphis, one in Kalamazoo, one in Dodge City, one in East St. Louis. Winslow, Barstow, Buffalo, Kokomo, Catalina, Pasadena, see what I mean. I gotta saddle my pony, man, I gotta hit the road. Let's head on out.
Saddle my pony, and I just looked out here. We're from the studio here at the farm and saw one of mine escape. So imagine a horse doing that, Suzanne.
I can imagine anything, Gary.
Well, welcome
to
the
show.
It's
nice to look out your own window and see your own horses, isn't it?
It is. It's a joy to be able to do that. But anyway, I'm sure he has plenty of pasture to roam on, so he'll be fine. But anyway, we're so happy to have you joining us, and Bobby is with us, and we're going to be talking about Imagine a Horse and your training program and what that does for our horses. Sue, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got started with horses and how Imagine a Horse came about?
Okay, I'd love to. Well, I think I was on the back of a horse for the first time when I was about 18 months old. My parents were cattle ranchers in Nebraska, and that gave me some great opportunities. So I had always ridden my own horses. When I became 20-something, I'd trained horses for myself. I went on pretty happily about that business until at about age 50, and I'm 64 now, but at age 50, I was in radio, and I knew I had to get out, and I thought, what in the world can I do? Because the stress was really bad, and so I started training saddle horses, and I thought I was pretty good at it and knew quite a bit, and after the first couple hundred horses, I had a little bit of experience under my belt. A couple hundred is kind of what it takes to develop your own style, but somewhere right in that time, that 50-year-old time, I had visited, who is now my husband, Alan Pogue, and watched him doing some playing with his horses, actually. It wasn't really what you'd call training, just playing with them in the evening. And he had a stallion and two mares, and they were all at liberty, all doing different things. Chokes me up just to think back on that. He was calling them out by name.
Wow.
Now, I thought I knew a lot, and that just blew me away. Not only did each one of them know their names, but they did what he said to do. And he said, Hassan, please sit. And Hassan would sit on a beanbag, or he'd say, Smoochie or Hasna, go fetch this, or step up here from, 30 feet away. And they did it. And so I decided that's something I wanted to look into and see if I could incorporate some of that cool behavior into my saddle training. And that's kind of where it started. And between the two of us, Alan and myself, we've developed over, 14 years now, what he had actually started. And we call it enlightened trick horse training. And when we say that, a lot of times people roll their eyes at us and say, oh, tricks, oh, my gosh, no. And they kind of envision the party pony trick deal, which we don't do. We use trick horse training to do what we call increase the usable intelligence, the predictability, and adaptability of today's companion horse or performance horse.
Well, when you were talking about the horses doing what Alan told them to do, I thought, gosh, I should have learned what he knows with my children. That would have been helpful. But
it doesn't work with kids, let me tell you. Barely works with dogs, but it for sure doesn't work with kids.
How does this translate into making a better companion horse or a performance horse?
Well, it's hard to explain at first, but just hang with me for a minute. One of the cornerstones of our training is pedestal training. Now, I've seen a lot of folks use pedestals in their clinics or demos or whatever, and I hope I'm corrected on this, but to this date, having traveled all over the country with our trick horses, I've never heard one other person than us explain why to use a pedestal. So if you imagine every species of animal trained by human beings, and that means dogs, big cats, big birds, crocodiles, you name it, dolphins, they all are trained with two things that stand out. One is a place or a mark. If you think about dog agility and a dog running a course, he comes back to his mat, his place. And that's
right.
A safe place. It's a place where he'll get scratches or a cookie or just told he's a good dog. And the same with all those other animals. So that's the first thing. The other thing is food treats. We pretty much say if it eats, it can be trained. Again, it doesn't apply to kids. So, so with the pedestal training, if you'll think of the methods that a lot of horses are put through, running around a round pen or moving around or things like that, Those might be slanted, in our opinion, toward horse nature, but what they're really slanted toward is human nature. Okay, so we believe that we're some of the first folks that have ever given a horse a place to run to, which is the pedestal.
Right.
And so standing on the pedestal gives a horse a new, higher view of the world, helps him to be bold, helps him to also be calm, and gives him a reason. Like the front feet are up on the pedestal, that's your place. It's a place to rest. So instead of moving around and doing figures until the human being decides it's time to stop moving, the horse can, and they do learn to do this, go to the pedestal as a default behavior. And from there, the sky's the limit with what you can do.
Wow. Well, that makes sense. And you know, you see, and as you said, you see a lot of people use pedestals in their training programs, but never really an explanation as to why that's done.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that's our explanation there. You know, another thing that that we do in working with folks and their horses, whether they're companion horses, trail horses, performance horses of a different discipline, is we believe in sensitizing. Okay, and a lot of times people look at me and roll their eyes back, and I absolutely get that there are some programs that people need to desensitize horses to, to objects and situations, and it can't be ignored. And I want to make one point here real quickly that applies to our horses and our training. Our training is for, we're not colt starting and we're not breaking horses and we're not taking outlaw horses that have had bad experiences with people or even just kind of naughty horses. We're talking about your really nice companion horse that doesn't really have an agenda other than to kind of do what you ask it to do. So sensitizing for us makes total sense. So what that really means is rather than desensitizing a horse, and say maybe tossing something at it, even a tarp, until it stands there and accepts it, that's all really, really great. But we want our horse to be sensitized to our wishes. We want them to look at us and say, oh, my God, I'm afraid to move. What is the answer here? And so the answer will be something that they've learned from a very young age forward. And basically that is to accept any kind of weird situation, scary deal, new place, because you're there with them.
Okay. All right. Well, you had sent me some notes, and when you put sensitizing, not desensitizing, you know, that was my first thought is what is that, and what does that do for the horse?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let me give you a little example of that. I love to go riding different places in the summertime, and about a year ago, one of my dear friends and I spent 6 weeks up in Montana and Wyoming traveling and riding, and I have a Missouri Foxtrotting gelding. He's 7 now. He was 6 at the time. Been with me since he was 5 months old. Gone through all of our training, and all that's really fine and good until we got to Hell Roaring Gulch in Yellowstone National Park. I don't know if you've ever been there. But
I haven't. The name says a lot, doesn't it?
Oh, man. The bridge rolled front to back, and it's 220 feet, about 300 feet down to Whitewater. And first time across, I have to admit, we weenied out and we walked our horses. But coming back, I said, you know, I'm not doing that. I came all this way to ride. So I got right up to the bridge, and I said, step up to Boulay. Step up. That means step up on whatever in the heck is in front of you and move forward. And he was shaking like a leaf because now I was on his back, not in front of him. And he stepped up, and when he heard that foot come down and the familiar noise it makes when it hits a pedestal or an object or cement, and I was telling him, step up, and also said, you can do it. Off he went. Off he went. And
wow.
To me, that's a really good example of when they, and they can learn words. They're as able to learn words as dogs are. It's the people that have the trouble teaching language to a horse. It's not the same way that we use language, but they can absolutely understand 1, 2, and 3 word phrases.
Well, you know, the relationship between the human and the horse is an important one, and it's an amazing relationship if it's done the right way. And we want to take just a real quick break. A friend of ours has done a song called Horses in Life, and it's
awesome.
By Marianne Kennedy. And so we're going to listen to this and come back and talk more with Sue and find out more about her her training and how that helps to make a better companion and helps people in the process. So you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Horses in life, it's all the same to me. The reason that my heart keeps beating inside. Horses in life, the passion was born at birth. Until my last day on earth, it'll be life.
By Marianne Kennedy, and just chatted with Bobby during that song break, and she wanted to know if that sensitivity training would work on her husband, Jim.
Dream on. Imagine, Bobby. Imagine.
I'm still trying to figure out how to get him on a pedestal. He's always putting me on one.
Oh, well, what a nice problem to have. Great.
Great.
You know, in our training, a lot of times, again, people hear that word trick and they just get turned off. But I'll tell you what, if you look on our website under the intro page, you'll see a lot of really cool pictures. And we've worked to break everything that a horse knows or when they're in our training into some categories that I think will help people make sense of what we do. And so the categories would include pedestal training. They'll include tricks of what we call gait, which would be the Spanish walk, moving on to a passage. So it has an element of classical movements to it. We have tricks of tricks of trust, okay? And those would include like the obeisance, the bow, kneel, lie down. We have tricks of engagement. And the reason these are called engagement is because there is absolutely no way to teach a horse to do these activities unless he wants to do it, wants to engage. And that would be retrieving frisbees, retrieving caps, your whip on the trail.
Oh, wow.
Or herding the big ball back to you. So when you have a horse that may not learn in a linear fashion like a lot of horses do, you can take some aspects of trick horse training, and on those days that you're saddle training a horse and the horse looks at you like, what? You can go to trick training, and then you can rotate those two things. One of the really interesting things about our training is that horses make strong associations between objects and actions and what we ask them to do. Okay, so we all know what it's like to ride a horse down a trail where something has spooked him, and every single
right.
time he goes down that trail, he'll think it's still there. Well, with the trick training that we do, every time a horse sees a pedestal, he thinks he should step up on it. When he sees a ball, he knows he's going to do a particular behavior. When he sees the beanbag, he knows he's going to sit on the beanbag. So horses can make those associations, which help us tremendously. Like my little gelding out on the trail, I said, step up, and he's, oh, I think I know what that means.
Right.
And went on like a pro.
Wow. Now, I wanted to ask, when do you work with horses your place is called Red Horse Ranch.
That's right.
Do you work with horses with the trick training for people, or do you do the clinics where you have the owner come and participate, or do you do both?
You know what? We do anything that fits a particular horse's and their human's desires. We'll take private horses and train them for folks. We take horses and their humans in for training. We'll do a day. We'll do a week. We'll do whatever they want. And we have trick horse training camps in April and May every year, and we get folks from all around the world that come. So we'll do it however they want it.
Okay. I know one of our – you have plenty of time. I was just going to mention, I think
okay.
one of our mutual friends, Bobby Joe Lieberman, was just at one of your camps not too long ago.
She was. I have worked with Bobby with some of her horses for a few years now, ever since we were lucky enough to have her move to Texas with us. And Kenny, her husband, built her an entire playground with all of the objects that Linda Tellington Jones uses in her labyrinths and all of the pedestals and agility platforms and so forth that we use in our training too.
Well, that is pretty neat. Is there a an age that's too young or an age too old for a horse to get involved in this? I mean, it's not like teaching an old dog new tricks, is it?
You can teach a horse of any age new tricks and wake up his desire, spark his desire, his usefulness, his desire to interact with you. Our foals that we start with or that we foal out for other folks, by the time they're a week old, they're hopping up on the pedestal next to the see-through wall by their mama. They hop up when we ask them to. It's really cool. And by the time they're 3 weeks old, they can actually go up and down the aisleway of our, we call it a purpose-built barn, and hop up on any little foal platform we ask them to. They'll turn around and back up and sit down on the beanbag or retrieve cap. So, horses are a precocial species, meaning that they are able to learn almost as soon as they can walk. So, nope, never too old and never too young.
All right. Well, that's great. That is great. Well, I know that, and of course, we haven't talked about the fact that you're a contributing writer for Trailblazer, and I know Susanna Gibson is a good friend of yours. You ladies have ridden together and
worked
together for quite some time, but folks can read your articles in Trailblazer. And then you also have training DVDs and some equipment for folks to use as well. And how can they find that?
They can find all of the things that we use, like bean bags, big balls, frisbees, designs for pedestals, and so forth on imagineahorse.com. And there's one I really want to emphasize here, and you can make the connection. ManaPro is one of our sponsors, and we've got a great DVD up on that website called Using Treats as a Training Tool. And it's one of our most popular DVDs ever, and you probably will make a little bit of a grimace when I say treats, like a lot of folks do, the same as the sensitizing. But I'll tell you, the reason that most horse owners have not been successful with using treats is because nobody's ever taught them a method to keep the horse from becoming muggy or pushy. And that's exactly how they'll learn, or what they'll learn to do with that DVD.
Okay. All right. Well, I would encourage people to visit the website, imagineahorse.com, and find out more about what Sue does with her training program. How do you teach the human to use what the horse has learned?
Oh, that's an age-old question. That's the hard part. Well, I'll tell you what, Gary. We will talk to anybody, and we do. We don't have a big pyramid of folks behind us that screen calls. My cell phone number is on the website. And you can pick up that phone and call me anytime. If I'm not loping a horse around, I will. I'll take your call and talk to you about it. And consequently, we get to know most people that talk to us or even email us before we ever meet them face to face. And I really, at 64, I want to work with the people that have nice horses and with the people that really desire to go to the next level with their horsemanship. So that's how we get the people that want to work with their horses. We flat ask them if they'll come and work with us.
Oh, gosh. Well, I would think the horses would be easier to train than the people sometimes. So
don't make me say it.
Oh, gosh.
But we have a lot of really great humans, too, though.
Well, I'm sure that you do. You know, there's some great people in this horse world, and it's amazing to me how the music and the horse world all intersect with each other, because
absolutely,
there's so many great artists that are out there and involved in horses, and I can't imagine life being any better than to include both horses and music in your life. So, being able to really develop that relationship between the horse and the human is so, so important. And we were talking earlier with Gary about how the harmonica had helped kids. Horses do the same thing. And so
they absolutely do.
Yeah, quite a combination. But anyway, visit imagineahorse.com and find out more about what Sue does and how the training that she does can help make a better, more intelligent, predictable, and adaptable companion horse and performance horse. And we're going to have you come back again and talk with us more. There's a lot to talk about. I've seen some photographs of some things that your horses do, and it's pretty. There's one where the horse is like climbing, you know, you have some kind of a slanted board, and they're climbing that thing. It's wild.
It's a climbing wall, Gary, and I may be the only wife in the world whose husband has made her a climbing wall in the training section of our barn, and the horses absolutely do walk up to it, lift their front end, and climb those rungs as high as they can. And here's my take on that. A horse that will go up that climbing ladder and keep going when you say higher, that's a horse that will walk through fire or across that suspension bridge for you.
Oh, wow. Well, it's neat. Well, listen, Sue, thanks for taking the time to be with us. And, again, the website is imagineahorse.com. And find out more about how Sue's training techniques for the horse will help you and your horse have a happier life together. So thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks very much, you guys. Have a great
day. Nice to meet you.
You too, Bobby. Bye-bye.
All right. And we're going to take a quick break and listen to a song by Junie Fisher called Fly, and we'll be back to talk with Bobby some more and see if she learned anything that she might try to teach Jim. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Times they were what got me through, but hardship and heartache got to me, made me doubt all that I knew. Then I spent my life dragging a shadow, wasted youth chasing a light. Finally came back to what I needed most, and everything's clear when I back. When I let go and let you be a horse, you give me the courage I lack. It's a partnership old as the ages, ever changing who teaches who. There have been some horsemen who've helped me, but the teacher I've learned from is you. Mind. Who needs the rest of the world when I'm riding? I let it go by. While we dance to the heartbeat of hoofbeats. Thank you. to fly without leaving the ground.
That is Junie Fisher's Fly, and Bobby, it's been a fun show. Did you learn anything that you can try to teach Jim?
Oh, you know, he doesn't need to be taught a thing. I'm still learning from him. I'm blessed to have an amazing partner in life, and in fact, when we finish up the show, we'll be putting him on a plane, and he'll be flying out to Denver to attend one of the most important Western and English trade shows. It's referred to as WESA. And in fact, R.W. Hampton will be performing on Sunday morning at Cowboy Church, specifically, I think, a free Cowboy Church event. And it lots of folks from WESA will go, as well as people attending the Denver Stock Show. So Jim will be flying, and I'll be the one with my boots on the ground here, keeping out West going while he's in Denver.
All right. Well, that'll be pretty cool. And you know, we didn't mention at the beginning of the show, but the Campfire Cafe today was made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store. And you can find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the equestrian lifestyle in the General Store at our website, EquestrianLegacy.net, and you'll find Out West in the General Store. So you can visit there and then just click on the their logo and visit their shop and do some shopping with them, as well as the other great sponsors.
And a lot of the CDs of the performers that have been part of our concert series are also available not only through the performers' websites, but we also support the performers by carrying their music in our store. So you'll often find them in the Out West music category as well.
All right. Well, that is cool. Well, Gary Allegretto was a lot of fun to talk with, just a really interesting guy. And so talented. And the way that he takes a different slant with his Western music, with a little bluegrass flavor to it. It's pretty cool stuff. That along the Navajo Trail, I mean, that's just one that people need to pick up and listen to that. That's such a great rendition, as well as the entire CD collection. So anyway, it's been a fun show and great guest, and we're looking forward to next Thursday at noon Central Standard Time for the Campfire Cafe with Bobby. And this week on Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale, this Sunday morning at 9, Belinda's guest will be Mike and Doris Merritt. And they're a great couple from Oklahoma that Doris has been in the music business for a long time, and Mike was a real Texas cowboy, and they've got a great CD out right now called Detours. So they'll be talking with Belinda and sharing their music and their faith with her on Sunday. And then Tuesday at noon on Saddle Up America, we'll have Susanna Gibson, the editor, or not the editor, but the publisher of Trailblazer magazine. Susanna is always fascinating to talk with, and we'll be visiting a guest ranch in North Carolina. So a lot of great shows. And you know, Bobby, it's kind of cool. Our free mobile app is being downloaded all over the world right now. And so people can go download that app at our website at EquestrianLegacy.net. They can listen to us on the go, on the road. And I had one fellow tell me he was in an airport in Germany and listening to the show from there. So that's just pretty cool. So you
very
can listen
cool.
to listen to live shows or listen to any of the archive podcasts through that free mobile app as well.
And shall I announce our guest for next Thursday?
Yeah, who do we have?
We have Miss Devin Dawson of Miss Devin and the Outlaw. Miss Devin will be calling in from Fort Worth. And she is just so much fun. Really looking forward to spending a little bit of time with Devin on Thursday.
Well, I'm going to have an extra dose of caffeine to keep up with Devin. She's a ton of fun. So we look forward to having her. She's talented lady, so sweet, but just such an energetic woman. So that will be a fun show. So be sure to join us next Thursday at noon for the Campfire Cafe, and we'll have another horse guest that will be joining us. So a lot of great music and a lot of great conversation on Thursday around the Campfire Cafe. And Bobby, any final thoughts?
I would say, what?
No, I just started to say, you've got Rob Wolfskill that's going to be at your Out West concert series in just another, what, 2 weeks?
Yes. No, actually a week from tonight, January 22nd, Rob will be with us, and we're gearing up for that and getting got our sound plot from him yesterday, so we know what equipment we need to have to be ready, and looking forward to kicking off the 2015 concert series. We've got 11 months of just great, great acoustic music, and looking forward to getting that going.
All right. All right. So we had fun with Rob last week on the show, and I know you're going to have a great concert out there next week. So we want to remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. And Bobby, we're going to close the show out today with Gary Allegretto's Harmonic Cowboy. So that will be a fun one to close out with. Enjoyed having you back. This is just your second time, so you were not a guest this time. You're co-host full-fledged.
Very fun. Very fun. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. We will talk to you next week, and we want to thank our audience for listening today.
Well, I was playing in town just the other day, and this fella strolls over just to say, "Hey, who the heck are you pretending to be? Blowing that thing and singing off key?" I said, "I was just doing what I was born to do. Don't think I'm any better or worse than you, and I ain't out here trying to be annoying. I'm just doing my job. Harmonic cowboying." Well, if it ain't your thing, buddy, well, that's okay. See, it wasn't me that chose to be this way. No, it chose me. I had no choice. I had no say and I had no voice. So it may not be your cup of tea or fit into what you call society. But it ain't none of my business what others think. Go on, give me a frown, I'll give you back a wink. If you're wondering why I'm telling you this, well, if you're judging me, you're judging amiss. I ain't aiming to be your pride and joy. I'm just trying to be me. Harmonic Cowboy. Yeah, this little harp's been like my best friend. It's got me through both thick and thin. It's my compadre and it's my pard. It eases my mind when things get hard, and I like things easy. Yeah, it's my thing. I like singing songs that are easy to sing. In an easy chair, easy as pie, with an easy gal that's easy on the eye. But I'm hard-headed, I'm hard to take, hard to bend, even harder to break. Hard to handle, hard to employ. I'm a hard-working harmonic cowboy. Well, I'm a stubborn man, I like to have my way. I ain't fond of working, I'd rather play. I ain't fond of losing, I'd rather win. If you knock me down, I'll get up again. I never could color between the lines, but that's okay, that suits me fine. I'm comfortable in my own skin, it don't bother me none to not fit in. I've been called a loser and called a winner and called a saint and called a sinner, all on account of doing just what I most enjoy, being an old harmonic cowboy. I'm gonna just keep going where the winds are blowing me. No four walls could ever own me. I'd rather be free and out there on the road, blessed by the friends and the places I've known. I've been overseas and all across this land, from California to the New York Island. Up the mountains, down the rivers, I guess I like things that give me the shivers, like riding fast horses or hopping trains. Some would say I got more balls than brains, but I ain't afraid to do the things I enjoy. I ain't afraid to be me, harmonic cowboy. Well, I've been called a dreamer, yeah, well, sure enough. And though I got edges, some would say are rough, why, once or twice, I've even been accused of being too darn pretty to sing the blues. I like to play my music as the sun goes down in a rowdy bar on the edge of town, drinking cheap whiskey with my pals and keeping an eye on those expensive gals. Yeah, I love women, you probably guessed that. Short and tall, curvy, skinny or fat, bold and sassy or shy and coy, they make me a happy harmonica cowboy. But I love my country, I'm proud to say. There ain't no place like the USA. I'm American-born, American-bred, but I wouldn't say that I'm easily led. Cause I don't follow crowds, I don't follow rules, I don't follow leaders, they're often fools. I just follow my heart. It has a way of showing me exactly where I need to be going. I live in the present, but I respect the past. I like things simple, things that last. I ain't a rich man, I'm working class. But you won't catch me kissing no one's. Ask me one more time while I tell you all this. If you're judging me, you're judging amiss. Mister, I ain't pretending, I'm the real McCoy. 100% harmonica cowboy.